The 536th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Heidi ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode. What episode are we at? We're at episode. Let me get the right window open. What a great start. 536. I said it before we went on air and I forgot already. Episode 536 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Obviously, we don't edit anything. All my scripts are in here. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. This one's going out to F Zappa, one of our friends on YouTube who commented that I looked confident in a couple episodes ago, but that's just basically based on the camera angle. It looked like I was leaning back confidently, but I was just recording somewhere different in a different chair. I was not confident.
It's a confident chair.
Exactly. There's a good title right there for the episode, a confident chair. So thank you, Mr. Zap. Anyhow, I thought you were dead, but apparently you're not and you're on YouTube. So thank you for coming to the show. Yeah, you're thinking these guys are back again. I thought I had some freedom from them on Tuesdays, but no, we are back. We're going to get you a Cage Warriors episode today. There's too many good regional MMA going on, regional MMA or non-UFC MMA events going on this week for us to take a day off. So we are going to ram some Cage Warriors India today. Cage Warriors 170 is going down from Ireland. So that is happening on Saturday before the UFC. So they may overlap a little bit, but it's, you know, pretty much they schedule this correctly for us. So you can just keep UFC Fight Pass on pretty much all day. All right. I'm not doing it by myself. I could guess at some of these things, do resume picks. Some of these fighters I know, but let's get an expert in here. He's amazing at regional MMA handicapping. We'll give you a recap. Maybe once we're caught up in real time at how he's doing at regional MMA. Before we actually jump into this event, Gumby can tell us how he did and how Cage Warriors 169 went over the weekend. Hi, Daniel Gumby Reeland. How are you?
I can't do that.
Why not? Today's Tuesday and it happened on Saturday afternoon.
Right. We're definitely not recording this as it's directly behind my computer right there.
It technically hasn't started yet. It's starting in 1 hour or so.
Yeah.
So that's 169. This is
well, the main card starts in 1 hour. The prelims I think are already airing.
Really? Okay. Yeah. But this is Cage Warriors 170. We're breaking down thoughts on this card going down in Dublin.
You know it's a bad Cage Warriors card when the names of the fighters headlining are not in the title.
That's right. It's just it's Cage Warriors. Cage Warriors. Dublin.
Yeah. It's generally, you know, I'm not out here trying to hate on all of my Irish MMA fans because I'm sure there's tons of them out there. And I'm sure a bunch of you clicked this video for the first time and are seeing our face. If that's true, we will be doing all kinds of Cage Warriors breakdowns. So hit the little subscribe button right below me. You could turn off notifications and only get the ones that are Cage Warriors. But I would say, yeah, generally this is a fight card where they try to hype up a few of their Irish prospects and try to get them ready for, you know, like bigger name fights. We're getting one sort of hastily thrown into a title fight, which I think he's probably ready for, but like the opponent's real weird. And so like, yeah, I think their Irish shows do not tend to be as well match made. Maybe is the best way to put it.
I think this fight might have just been added. Paul Hughes is fighting Edgar Ascarrega. Do you know anything about that one?
I don't. That must have been just added because
Paul Hughes was supposed to fight against Yemi Oduwale, and this one,
I knew that fight had dropped off because originally I had that on my list of the ones we should break down. I mean, I'm just gonna say this. Maybe that's why they didn't name the fight card. Yeah, I'll just say this while I'm looking down here. Pick Paul Hughes. He's gonna be a negative 750 favorite in that fight. Do you want a breakdown of why Paul Hughes is good?
I hear about, like, I listen to Sphere MMA a lot, and they are apoplectic as to Paul Hughes not being in the UFC, and he should have been in the UFC years ago. Now, is this just another they're good at hyping up their own fighters, which is fine. But is this just a guy who's not going to live up to the hype, or is he really like it?
No, I think Paul Hughes is good. Should he have been in the UFC years ago? I mean, I think he like kind of blew his chance when he lost to, like, if he had not lost the first time to Jordan Vucenic, which, like, if you're listening to this now, you know Jordan Vucenic may have already won this Saturday in the main event. You know, like, he sort of blew his chance when he lost to Jordan Vucenic in their first fight. I think he had, like, tons of hype behind him, and that fight kind of, like, zapped a little bit of it. He obviously avenged that loss a little while later, and now, like, clearly has the resume, having avenged his only loss, and he's really exciting to watch, and he goes and gets finishes, and, like, all of that kind of stuff is, like, fun about Paul Hughes. You know, he also beat Morgan Charrier, who is now in the UFC, and if I'm not mistaken, has a win in the UFC. So, like, he's all the wins now that seem to add it all up, and I don't know. This wind, I don't even know who Edgar Escarria is.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, who is Edgar Escarrega? Do you know anything about this gentleman?
Really tall Mexican.
Tall boy?
Lightweight. He's 5'11". I guess that's not even really that tall. He looks kind of skinny. I don't know much.
He's basing it off his body.
I don't know hardly anything about this guy. Where has he been fighting? This is like a fun real-time discovery.
Naciones MMA. Naciones.
Naciones.
He's a regional Mexican guy, right?
He's somebody they hired for Paul Hughes to execute on live TV. Like, I mean, like, no offense, but that's probably what it is. And that's sort of what I mean by this matchmaking on a Dublin show, is that, like, you're going to get fights where Paul Hughes fights a guy you've never heard of from the Mexican regional scene. Like, I don't even have this guy circled as a prospect, and all of a sudden he's showing up in a fight against a guy who probably should already be in the UFC. But to my original point, is Paul Hughes good enough to be in the UFC? 100%. I said on last Tuesday's show that Vucenic is good enough to be in the UFC, and he's beaten Vucenic. So, like, I think he's good enough to be there. The years ago part of that comment is the part I'm pumping the brakes on, because he, like, had hype. He got beat. He needed to build that hype back up, and now he's at that spot. So, sign Paul Hughes. Sign him soon.
Yeah.
And watch him beat this guy. Weirdly.
Maybe negative
1,200. Let's say negative 1,200 on that.
Okay. Game. Maybe it wasn't years, but the I've seemed to have been hearing about Paul Hughes for quite a while now. So hopefully when he does, if and when he does go to the UFC, they don't, like, Reese McKeon and give him killer matchups right out of the gate. So hopefully they give the man a shot. So there you go. On the spot, real time fight breakdown by Gumby Vreeland for you. Before we move on, if you want March Madness breakdowns, obviously places to go are our main podcast, The Mothership, hosted by the bosses, Brian and Sean. That would be the Sports Gambling Podcast. Imagine that. So make sure you watch and subscribe to them. They cover every sport, but right now, obviously, it's all about the NCAA men's basketball tournament. They've been picking winners against the spread there since 2012. And if college basketball is your jam, obviously, the College Basketball Experience with Colby Dant. You may know him as Pick Dundee, Ryan Moneyline McIntyre, Noah B. is B. Nick. I don't know why they just have him down as B. Maybe they think people can't say his name. Anyhow, they got you covered for the best college basketball betting coverage around. So make sure you subscribe to all three podcast catcher of choice, YouTube, all that good stuff. All right. I noticed in this card too, a whole lot of Italian fighters. Cage Warriors has a lot of Italian fighters as well.
It's like I think they bring them in to lose to the Irish guys.
or they get confused by the flag, and they think they're really getting an Irish fighter.
Yeah, it's kind of,
they're kind of similar.
It kind of looks like an Irish flag.
Yep. All right. So we're not talking about Sinead Nee Nualane. 0-1 versus Jennifer Trio Row.
No, if you're looking at Tapology, and I know I've said this before about Cage Warriors cards, they are the slowest promotion in the world at updating their bout order on Tapology. They just feed things into Tapology as they get signed. So you kind of have to, like, pick and choose. I know we broke down on last week's card, Sean Marcos da Silva versus Lonair Kavanaugh, and that was originally listed at, like, second at the bottom on Tapology when we broke it down. I'm like, nah, we got to break that one down. And then it wound up the co-main event. So yeah, they move things.
So we're not going to have Aymar Darcy versus Jenny Lyon as the co-main event. 0-0 versus 0-3.
No, definitely not.
But Paul Hughes' fight will probably be the co-main event.
I bet you they might squeeze him into the main event anyway, yeah, even if it's not for a title. Like, they like him.
Yep. Yep. All right. We are going to start with Shelly versus Parker, correct?
Ryan Shelly.
Yes, Ryan. There's a couple of Shellys here. Are they related?
They're brothers, yeah.
They're brothers. All right. Not like the Big Tuna and the other, and the non-Big Tuna.
Not like the Parishes.
All right. Ryan Shelly from Ireland, imagine that, versus Callum Parker from the UK. 3 5-minute rounds, featherweight. I'm going to break down. We don't have odds for this as of now. Cage Warriors is kind of, those odds don't really drop until midweek as well. It's just kind of like, or they're even later than LFA sometimes, aren't they?
They usually are. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Gumby is good at guessing these odds. And if he's not good, then you know if there's value either way, if he guesses wrong. All right, Parker, 2-3 with one no contest. He's been knocked out once. 0-1 in Cage Warriors. 0-3 over his last three, obviously. 0-3 with one no contest over his last four. 1-0 in LFA. Shelly, 6-2, two knockouts, three submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 4-2 in Cage Warriors. However, he's lost two straight fights, both via finish, an inch of height over Parker. Are they giving Shelly a get back in the win column fight here?
I think they're trying, and I think they're going to fail. I think spicy. Ryan Shelly is going to be a massive favorite too, like -400 or something like that. And I think Callum Parker at +300, 325, somewhere in that range would have tremendous value. Because the thing about Callum Parker is he was just on Octagon. He fought Rosal. And in that fight, he actually got a lot of his grappling going. Like he kept taking Rosal down. He had his back a couple of times. He was badly getting outworked on the feet. And largely the reason he gets outworked on the feet is when he moves forward, and my God, does he move forward all the time? He just keeps his head on the center line. Like it is right there to be punched. Like he wants you to punch him in the head. And eventually he either gets in on the takedown or he throws hands or whatever. And the thing about Ryan Shelly is like, he hates being pressured. He does so poorly when he's pressured. I've even seen him like weirdly turn his body, not all the way around, but like almost sideways. Like he's going to try to circle away, but like points his toes where he's going. Kind of like gives up grappling positions, and like he's a good grappler, both the Shellys are, but I think he's got better jujitsu than he does wrestling. And kind of the reverse for Callum Parker. I think Callum Parker's wrestling is actually good. His jujitsu finishing hasn't been great, but I think like he holds the positions well enough that I think he will hold his own against Shelly. So I think Parker's jiu-jitsu could be a problem, but also he could just choose not to wrestle and box with him. And Shelly doesn't deal with pressure well, doesn't deal with forward movement well, and maybe doesn't have the boxing to even capitalize on the fact that Callum Parker's head is still on the center line. So, yeah, I think they're trying to give Ryan Shelly a layup here, and I think they secretly accidentally gave him a bad matchup.
I consulted with you first, Gumby.
And I think the books will probably go nuts on Shelly too, because like it's an Irish fighter fighting at home. He's got an infinitely better record than the British guy, who's only 2-3 and coming off of a loss. But like it's at a lot higher of a level that Callum Parker has been fighting in like places like Octagon than it has who they've had Ryan Shelly like losing to.
Interesting. Maybe Cage Warriors needs to start talking to Gumby before they match up some of these people, right? Ground boiling. Give reach out to Gumby. All right, he'll be a consultant for a fair price. I'm brokering the deal, so I get at least 10%. But yeah, go ahead. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm down.
He's down. I want a cut, of course, and I also want to tell you about Cut. KUTT. Different kind of different spelling. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users in sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features to give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. And social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Get on there, check out the custom SGPN bets that hosts of other shows have on there. Download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's KUTT. And use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. And of course, our friends at Underdog Fantasy, I need to tell you about. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. It's this easy if you haven't tried it already. You pick between 2 and 5 players, various sports, MMA included. Pick higher or lower on whatever stat total that's listed there that you want to make a play on. And if you hit enough correct, you can win 100 times your money in a single night, not a whole season. You don't have to chase after your friends for the money. Simple as that. Sign up today with promo code MMASGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code MMASGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Okay. First one, Gumby dropped a bombshell on us. Hopefully we're going to get a dog here. We're moving up the card. Well, who knows if we're moving up the card or not. We're moving to another fight. Scott Harvey versus Enrico DeGangi. Or Gongi. I'm not very good with my Italian, apparently. Ireland versus Italian. Irish versus Italian. At bantamweight, 3 5-minute rounds. Is it Gongi? Gongi? DeGangi?
DeGangi.
DeGangi. DeGangi is 4-1. One knock. That's French, but one knockout, two submissions. One known cage warriors. I guess he's never been finished. I forgot to write that down, but I think he's never been finished. One known cage warriors, 2-0 over his last two. He's not lost since September 2020. Used to fight at featherweight. Harvey, Hazard Harvey, 3-0 with two knockouts. This is his cage warriors debut. Used to fight at featherweight, a regional champion. How could you know anything about this Harvey gentleman? Gumby, three fights.
I've seen him fight a bunch of times.
There, see? Yeah. I set you up for that.
So Harvey, there's things I don't like about him as a prospect. First of all, he's going to be a favorite here. I'll say -225 on Harvey, like +175 on the comeback for Gongji. And I'm going to go with Harvey here. There's things I don't like about him. Like, he has really good footwork, but sometimes he closes the range and he like feints the kick like 17 times. Like his back hip keeps like fainting, like he's gonna throw a low leg kick or like snap one over, but then he just does it like 16 times and I'm like, just throw the kick, it does damage, you have a good low leg kick. And instead he faints it like 12 times in a row. And DeGangi here is the kind of guy who eats leg kicks, so it like would just behoove him to just throw it, just like let it happen. And so like there's things like that I don't like about him. In his last fight too, he also kind of got like suckered into a wrestling match. The guy like closed the distance and turned it into a clinch. And he's like, oh, I can wrestle this guy. And then wound up like kind of not being able to wrestle him for a moment. And then he came out in the second round and just finished him with the strikes because he's that much better of a striker. Like, he's really crisp in addition to having the good footwork. Like, his combinations up top are really nice. All of those things I like about Harvey, but there's just like some fight IQ questions. Like, why are we still feigning this? Why are you wrestling right now? Why aren't you just circling away? And for DeGangi, I think like he's got good striking aspects too. I think offensively he can maybe even match the output of Scott Harvey. I think the big difference maker here is just, you know, the complete lack of feints, and the defense is not going to be as good as Harvey. Harvey sort of deters other people from throwing as much because he is threatening constantly and he's moving forward really well and his footwork's really good, whereas DeGangi is like, I'm going to throw that same amount of strikes, but like there's none of the setup, none of the lead up to it. So I think Harvey is going to be a lot sharper in those regards, which is why you're probably going to see him, in addition to being the Irishman on home soil, it's probably why you're going to see him at like -225, and I think he's a smart player.
All right, Harvey is the pick. You think all the Irish are going to be favored on this fight card? I guess not. I guess that's kind of a general question. There's a lot of them on here.
Yes, maybe. What? Hang on. Let me look at my. Maybe not this next one.
Okay. Next one has no Irish in it, though. Technically,
is O'Neill?
O'Neill is from Northern Ireland. Yes,
Northern Ireland.
Flag.
Right.
Yes, different flag, but yes, I gotcha.
Still Irish.
Francesco Mazzeo from Italy. Jordan O'Neill, as I mentioned, from Northern Ireland. 3 5-minute rounds at middleweight. O'Neill 2-0 with one submission. This is his cage warriors debut, period, end stop. Mezio 3-0, two knockouts, 2-0 in cage warriors. That's all I got. Not much in these people. Gumby probably has a lot somehow.
Mazzeo throws so hard on every single one of his punches, like wildly. This dude is the most middleweight on the planet. Big heavy strikes, not really great takedown defense. He's probably gonna get tired really quick. When he kicks, he throws that same amount of power. It's like literally every single one of his punches is like a saved up Donkey Kong punch on Super Smash Brothers. Like, this dude goes for it. And Jordan O'Neal is literally the exact opposite. For some reason, when he's boxing, and it's not all the time, but like sometimes when he looks uncomfortable boxing, his shoulders don't move when he punches. Like, his arms move, but like the shoulders still stay square to his opponent. And so it's like he is like doing the opposite of putting all of his body into it. Sometimes he's barely even putting his arms into it. So like I really don't like that about Jordan O'Neal. There's a chance Jordan O'Neal comes in here and tries to wrestle Mazio, which I think could potentially work because Mazio is so off balance all the time from throwing giant monster punches that you could potentially take him down. But Jordan O'Neal kind of like rips and muscles takedowns. Like I saw him get a body lock and try to get the trip, and the trip didn't really work. And then he just tried to like hang on him and throw all of his body weight into it. And like, then there was a scramble, and like, it's just not good wrestling. I think I said this about a fighter on LFA. It's not good wrestling, but it's persistent wrestling. And that might work against a guy like Mazio, especially as he tires. But I also just think there's a good chance Mazio lands one of those big punches before we get too deep into this fight. Like he's throwing with a lot of intention. O'Neal doesn't move particularly well on his feet. Like I said, he's sometimes when he's punching, his legs are planted, his shoulders are planted weirdly, and his arms are moving. And I don't really like that about him. So I think Mazio could definitely knock him out here. I'm going to say Mazio is a slight favorite, like, but only like negative 135. I think this fight will probably be close because people will be worried about whether or not Mazio is just like exhausted after 3.5 minutes of fighting, which I mean, real possibility. I just think he lands the knockout punch before that.
All right. So Mazio minus 135 is the play around, maybe even a better line, hopefully, right?
Yeah, I mean, I hope he comes in as a plus 9,000 dog, but, you know.
There you go. But, yeah, we can't promise that, though.
Yeah,
we can't promise the Hall of Fame bets is good value for you, though, because Hall of Fame bets can help you win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea in the Hall of Fame bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets. All right, our second to last fight. Maybe it's the main event. Maybe it's co-main event. Maybe it's not.
It's probably not with Hughes on the card. It's probably not with Hughes on the card.
Adam Shelley, the other Shelley brother from Ireland, versus Emmanuel Sabatino from Italy. More Italy versus Irish action. Sabatino, Clark Kent is the nickname. 5-1, one knockout, one submission. Never been finished in a fight. 2-0 in Cage Warriors. That's part of a two-fight winning streak. He won his last fight via submission. Has not lost since December 2021. That was his only career loss. He used to fight at welterweight. Shelley, 5-2 with two knockouts. He's been knocked out once, submitted once, so he's been finished in both his losses. 4-1 in Cage Warriors. He's won three straight fights and 5 of 6. 2 inches taller than Sabatino.
I'm going to say Shelley comes in here a slight favorite. He's, the Irish guy on Irish soil. I just said pretty much all the Irishmen are going to be favorites. I don't think a big one here, though, because Sabatino's record's kind of nice. So we're going to say like negative 135 for Shelley, like plus 115 on the return for Sabatino, because there's usually a little bit more juice on those fights on the regional scene. And I'm going to go dog. I'm going to fade both the Shelley brothers here and take the underdogs on the other side of them. The reason why is Shelley, I really like his kicking game. His kicks have no windup on them at all, or at least very little windup on him. They seem to come out of nowhere. They're tough. They're strong. He works into the body. But just like anytime anybody's returning fire, this is an example of a guy being too tall for his own damn good. This is tall guy defense. Leans out of the way.
Oh, first time we heard a lean in three regional episodes.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to make it.
Nah, you got Adam Shelley in there. He leans out of the way too much. And the thing is like he's used to having a really large height advantage, right? Adam Shelley's like what, 6'2" lightweight? You want to pull that up for me while
I'm going to pull it up right
stammering
now.
About nothing. I think he's like 6'2", 6'3" at lightweight. And if you look at Emmanuel Sabatino, he's not a short lightweight either. He's a pretty darn big lightweight in his own right. So I think, like, first of all, the fact that he does that like tall guy defense stuff could really cost him here. The second thing that I don't really like about Adam Shelley in this fight is I think Emmanuel Sabatino is a better wrestler. He does a really good job of when he puts a couple of strikes on you and you return fire, he ducks under and he gets on the legs really well. I've seen some really good control on him in the wrestling. His ground and pound isn't fantastic. His submission game isn't fantastic, but he does jiu-jitsu positionals are really good for him. Like he makes the half guard and he's just going to hold you there and do little bits of work and not get stood up. I think Shelley likes to grapple enough that maybe we see him, you know, drop a couple of rounds not standing back up. So, I like Sabatino's wrestling game to take over here, or, you know, the fact that he's tall and that might give Shelley some issues, used to being the much, much taller guy.
All right. There you go. Shelley is Vic. What was the number you said again?
Plus 115. This one could be pretty close to a pick 'em. I think Sabatino will be the slight dog, is like the foreigner on Irish soil.
All righty. Main event, we think, as of now, is for the Cage Warriors vacant welterweight championship. Gumby, why is it vacant?
Giannis Bouchard is in the tough house currently. It appears he will be either with the UFC or will have to come back and get his belt back. Because this is for the vacant, not for the interim, which means they must assume that Giannis is going to stay with the UFC.
Okay, so there you go. I guess the season just started. So I was going to say, do they know something we don't know? But no one knows anything yet.
They're currently in the house. Like, as we're speaking, They are in the house right now.
Yep. All right. Oh, the excitement, eh?
I love
tough season. I know. Gumby can't wait. all right. So here's who are fighting for the vacant welterweight championship. Cage Warriors, 3 5-minute rounds. It's only 3 rounds. Is that true? Are they title fights only 3 rounds?
They're usually 5, but
Tapology is usually not wrong. But yeah, maybe Tapology is wrong for once. Anyhow, it's James Sheehan from Ireland versus Daniel Conrad. He is from Switzerland. All right. Tell you about Conrad first with a C. With a K, excuse me. Conrad with a K. He's 6-1, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions, and he's been submitted once. So he owes us rounds. Damn it. This is his Cage Warriors debut. He's won 4 straight fights. He's not fought since March of 2023, though. He's not lost a fight since May of 2018. Was regional champion, used to fight at middleweight. That's all I got. Sheehan, Jimbo Slice, another one of the best nicknames around, right?
I call my brother Timbo Slice.
Oh, perfect.
Actually call him Timbo Slice.
There you go. Well, they copied you, and now they got a Jimbo Slice. Sheehan is 7-3, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 6-2 in Cage Warriors. He's won 6 of his last 7, including his last fight. And he's 2 inches taller than Conrad. All right, break down our title fight here.
Yeah, so I think Sheehan was already going to be the contender for Bouchard's title beforehand, and they kind of needed somebody for him to fight when Bouchard disappeared into the tough house. So Conrad kind of is the dude who's filled that void. Conrad is weirdly very hard to find footage on, despite being a guy in a Cage Warriors title fight. But from what I did find, most of the fights are kind of old on his, but in all of the fights that I could find, he's a guy who jumps a ton of submissions.
Guillotines?
Really? I mean, guillotines, occasional flying triangle, tries snap downs that don't work sometimes. Like he's just like a guy who he's gonna try for submissions. And the thing about Sheehan is I think he has the top control to stay safe against the guy who's just going to be looking for submissions off of his back all the time. So if it does wind up there, I think Sheehan stays safe enough and wins a decision. If it stays on the feet, I think from what I could see, Sheehan is a much better striker. I like the way that he leads with his jab all the time. You know, I know it's sort of a dumb thing to say in terms of combat sports, but guys who actually use their jab appropriately sometimes have a wild advantage over most of the strikers in MMA. And Sheehan seems to do that quite well. And I think he's just going to back up Conrad. I think you're going to see Conrad get so sick of being on the feet that he's going to wind up in the clinch and fall down sometimes when he's in the clinch, trip and just try to turn this into a grappling match. And I don't think he's crafty enough. Most of the submissions I've seen him hit off of his back, they're a triangle choke where he holds the arm out and brings his legs in. It's not sneaky. It's not catch. you know, one time he just like sat up and put a guillotine on the guy and he let him have it. And then he tapped to the guillotine. So like, it's not like any of these submissions are like really quick or really crafty or really slick in the way that he grabs them. Like it's just like, he's been fighting low level welterweights and he's been catching them in submissions. And I think he will think he can still do that, or that's like a viable strategy to win. And against James Sheehan, I just don't think it is. So I'm going to go with Sheehan here. I don't think he'll be too big of a favorite, maybe like negative 175. I think the home soil is good, but the fact that Conrad's got a bunch of finishes, I think maybe people think Conrad can surprise him here.
All right, there you go. Let's give you a recap. Look at your ears, because we got to get back in your ears and eyes again tomorrow with the UFC. All right, Sheehan, Jimbo Slice is his pick in the main event. And then you've got Shelly, hopefully as an underdog. Mazzillo.
Nope, don't have any of the Shellys.
Oh, that's Sabatino as an underdog, excuse me. Let's take care of that. Sabatino as an underdog. Harvey, Mazzillo, Harvey, and Parker. Did I get all that right? Finally, Sheehan, Sabatino, Mazzillo, Harvey, Parker. There we go.
Now it is. There it is.
Perfect. All right. Thank you for letting us into your orifices again for this episode. We'll be back tomorrow. Like I said, what are we coming tomorrow? UFC Vegas 90, aka UFC. Is it that? Let's take a peek at it. Is it that
just bad? Chris Curtis versus Brendan Allen 2 is just like a fight? Is it just in? Maybe this is all we have to talk about.
Yeah.
Is it just them trying to get Brendan Allen that loss back?
It was supposed to be Marvin Vittori, and Vittori backed out. Do you prefer that fight?
Yeah, infinitely more.
And, you know, this is a middleweight main event, Gumby, so what do you expect, right? UFC Apex.
Perfect.
Let's go through the rest of the card, because we haven't done this yet, and we're going to cover it already tomorrow. Alexander Hernandez, Damon Jackson, Morgan Charrier, Jose Marischal, Gumby interviewed him. Chepe Marischal, you may know him as. Ignacio Bahamondes, Christos Giagos, Walter Walker, the brother of Johnny, Lucas Bresky. Oh boy, Lucas Bresky's still around. Trevor Peak, our friend. We love Trevor Peak versus Charlie Campbell. That's the main card. Prelims, Court McGee, Alex Morono, Norma Dumont, Jermaine Duranemi making her comeback. Alatang Haley, Victor Hugo, Pierre Rodriguez, Cynthia Calvillo, Dan Arjueta, Jean Matsumoto, Dylan Budka, Cesar Almeida, Nor Cornole, Melissa Mullins, and I think we're going to get Lucas Roca, Joshua Van as well. So a lot of, that guy or gal still in the UFC on this card.
Van got out of that fight. Or maybe he fell out of it like a couple weeks ago and they rebooked it to this one. A lot of guys were like, they signed Walter Walker like 6 years ago, I feel like, and he's just now debuting. Because I've been talking about how he doesn't look anything like Johnny for years. There are a couple other fun fights in there. I'm interested to see how Melissa Mullins looks in her second fight. Same with Nora Cornell. Chepe Mariscal has had some absolute bangers so far. He of course, beat Trevor Peak, who is a fan favorite, in a very fan-friendly style fight. And Jan Matsumoto, the quadruple golden champion boy from Contender Series, is featured. So you got to love that.
Michael Bisping's favorite, yes. So anyhow,
and then we'll probably going to forget that he exists.
Exactly. We'll be covering that tomorrow, the prelims tomorrow, the main card the next day. All right. Where can you find us? In the Discord, obviously. We're always there. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter, SGPN MMA. At Gumby Vreeland, at Jeff Fox Writer there, and on Instagram. Get in my Substack, enter my pick'em contest for this year fight card we were just talking about at moneymma.substack.com. Gumby, you got a Top Turtle MMA podcast. You may be interviewing someone I just mentioned on it this week.
Yeah, Chepe Mariscal is going to be on, as well as Michael Dufort, who's going to be fighting at PFL 2, which we'll be probably breaking down next week.
There you go. And UFC 300 right around the corner. What else do we have to tell you about? The YouTube, obviously. Thank you for everyone who's subscribed. Making a push for 500 subscribers now. So make sure you subscribe from every account that you have access to. Thank you for that. Obviously, our main website, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon, so we can crush corporate gambling, and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about that exciting fight card we just told you about. We Hazard, Jeff Fox, and Gumbo Slice will be with me as well, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.